Are you tired of spending your time and money chasing strategy after strategy, only to discover what worked 10, 5, or even 2 years ago is not working now? Things shift fast in the online space, and if you're not keeping up, you're getting left behind. It's time for something different. Welcome to the Marketing, Media, and Money Podcast, where every single episode will be jam-packed with proven, profitable strategies, behind-the-scenes secrets, and what's working now resources from industry experts and global influencers to help you scale your business, shorten your learning curve, and stand out in a crowded, noisy marketplace. And now, your host, award-winning marketing and media strategist and international speaker, Patty Farmer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Marketing, Media, Money Podcast. I am your host, Patty Farmer, and I'm looking forward to sharing today's industry expert with you. And today we're going to talk about something that I think is really, really interesting, and you're going to find a lot of value in, because we're going to talk about non-negotiables. Right? We're always talking about all the different things we want, all the results that we think that we're going to get, and all the things that we do. And we're always wondering, what exactly are those going to be? However, when you really want to talk about consistent client growth, you really have to talk about the non-negotiables. So today we're going to talk about the three non-negotiables to create a consistent client growth using low-tech, high-touch, high-result strategies to attract high-paying clients and long-term contracts. So these are some of my favorite subjects, and I'm really excited to have our guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. So her name is Christine Campbell Rappin. She's a business mentor and a consultant who has helped more than 400 businesses create $1 billion in revenue. And that was a billion, not a million. She believes business growth can be elegantly simple when you know what to focus on to create consistent client growth. As the owner of Clear Acceleration, Inc., she has a no-nonsense approach to helping business owners achieve consistent client growth by improving client conversion rates and to become the must-hire choice in a crowded marketplace. So let's help me welcome Christine. I'm so excited to have you here with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's going to be fun. I can't wait.
Yes, I'm really excited because I have to tell you, I love it when I really have people that are marketing people on the show. I mean, we are the Marketing, Media, Money show, but I really love it because I feel like there's so many different perspectives and there's so many different ways that, you know, when you're marketing in your business and you're trying to amplify your message or whatever the case may be, some things are going to resonate with you and some things are not going to, right? And so I personally have found that I love working with people who overlap with me a little bit, right? Because it kind of just makes the conversation just that much more interesting. So let's just kind of talk about that. So today, when we're talking about the non-negotiables, what you said to me is that you call it fractured to focused. And I have to tell you, I really, really love that. Because they're F words, and I have a book coming out that has some F words in it, not the bad F words, but my book is called Faith or Fear, What's Your F Word? That's the name of my book that's coming out. And so I love that. So you immediately got my attention with that. And I'm sure you did to my audience as well. But before we jump in there, I always like to say we all have a story. We didn't wake up one day and said, oh my gosh, this is what I think I'm going to do. This is my passion. This is my purpose, right? We always, as entrepreneurs, have a little bit of a windy road to get there. And then we always have an aha. And then that aha is when we actually know that we have aligned our passion, our purpose with the way that we want to serve in the world. So will you be willing to share with us a little bit about what that was and what your aha moment was that lets you know that you are right where you're supposed to be?
100%. You know, I did know from a young age that I wanted to do something on my own in terms of business. I grew up educating myself in the world of business. I have formal education, 2 degrees in business, and had a really interesting career. I worked in 9 unrelated industries in marketing, sales, and operations, all 3, and often had P&L responsibility. So I had the whole foundation piece, and I knew at some point there would be a time where I would want to create something. It was not on a random Wednesday where I got to bed and thought, I'm going to start a business today. But by Friday, I started my first business as a side hustle. And it really was about creating a bit of a sense of identity for myself. There's a lot of changes going on in my life. And I thought, it's time to start building something for me. When I started that journey, though, I committed 1 hour a day. And I was disciplined about that. And it snowballed and my business kept growing. And peers kept saying to me, what are you doing differently? Because you have a big corporate job. At the time my kids were teenagers, I was getting married, moving house, and I had a job that was relatively new. Adding a business in didn't seem the logical choice. I said I could do 1 hour if you guys want to watch Friends reruns again. I don't want to see it. So I started my business. But people kept saying to me, what are you doing in that 1 hour that's creating results? And my response was pretty glib, but honest. Treat my business like a business. And I knew what business was, the structures, the things to focus on. And I didn't realize that most people didn't. So the invitation kept coming up. Can I buy you coffee? Sure. Talk to me about it. And then people started to say, I think it might take more than coffee for me to really embody what it is you're saying is true. And I watch you and it seems true and it feels true. And I think it is true, but I struggle. Can you help? I really value your time. Can I pay you for your time? And I was like, this is interesting. And that actually gave birth to the path I'm on now.
Which I love, because so many times people ask you if they can take you for coffee and pick your brain and they're not willing to pay you. So I think that in itself says a lot about what the value was that you were sharing, right? So I think that is really amazing. And would you say that a lot of times in general, I think when people don't pay, right, and they get information, right, because, you know, with you being, you know, similar to what I do, we're not in the information business. We're in the transformation business. Google's in the information business, right, and stuff, though. So I feel like a lot of times I have found, and I think it's more common than people believe, that if you don't invest anything, like you'll listen and you'll think, wow, that's really great. It's kind of like when you go to an event and you walk out and you're like, oh my goodness, this is so amazing. I'm going to go home and I'm going to do this and this and this. And then they don't, right? You know, I feel like really honestly, they have to invest. And there's several ways to do that, of course. But what's your take on that? Do you find that when you were just having coffee and they weren't paying you, did you feel like they were really listening and implementing what you were saying? Because, you know, I know that a lot of times I always tell my clients, you know, what is it that you're choosing? Are you choosing to get compliments? Or are you choosing to get cash? Right. You know, because you can be the person that all day long people say how brilliant you are. Right. But they're not paying you. Right. So I really feel like sometimes in that place we get stuck. Right. You know, you want to give value. You want to be known for that. But at the same time, the things that come the easiest to us, would you say, sometimes I don't think people realize that the things that come the easiest to us, we would really be surprised to know how many other people struggle with that thing. And there is really where the magic is. So, you know, how do you feel about that?
100%. I said, you can really run the risk of becoming the likable expert. And I see it all the time. You're talking to the slow lane, you're educating, you're entertaining. And you know what? They're not buyers. And learning to shift to actually how do you be the must hire is essential to see success in the consistent long-term growth. What is interesting, I say to people, if you're not seeing consistent client growth, one of three reasons are happening. Number one, you don't know how. That's a lazy answer. Knowledge is everywhere. Be careful where you get your knowledge, but watch somebody who's walking their talk, not just being all sizzle and no substance. Number two is if you're doing all the right things and it's not working, staying the path and believing it's a quote unquote numbers game is insane. Doing the wrong things more times is just not going to lead you anywhere. You've got to get a perspective that is not your own to see where the gaps are. That's often where I play. The third reason you don't have consistent client growth is I know what to do. I'm just not doing it. And I am a truth teller. And I would say that's a why problem. Your non-negotiable of why you want to do this isn't big enough. You either need to exit the field or really dig deeper into a bigger motivation to move you past convenience. And so when people do come to you to say, I want to pick your brain, I said, The knowledge is the easiest bit. I will give it generally for free. You spend time in my ecosystem. There's a lot of free resources, but I will also tell you, so what? Which is a big hallmark of what I coach around. What is the issue? Isn't knowledge, it's the application. So when you get stuck on the application, this is what I do. I mentor you to move through the thinking to the doing, to the evaluating, to the adjusting. And that's really what you need to actually create a different result. And so when people say, you know, I want to just pick your brain, I said, you know, you'll hear the same things because it is inherently basic. And the issue is not that you don't know it's basic, is that it's hard to stay basic because that's where the real work has to happen.
I really agree with that. I think a lot of times, and people don't know what lane they want to be in either, right? You know, they're just not exactly sure. And they don't know who they really want to work with. You know, this whole, you know, remember back in the day when people were networking and they would say anybody with this or somebody with this, whatever. And I'd be like, well, that's just too broad. But I think when we do our own businesses, a lot of times they do it to themselves as well, is they're not really sure. And I have to tell you, that happened to me. Like, I have six daughters and I come from a family of girls, right? I have one little baby brother, but I have four sisters. So I mostly have been around women my whole life and I love it. And early on in my business, I've been in business for like 25 years, but early on in my business, I wanted to just come out and say, you know what? I just want to work with women. I just want to be the marketing person who markets for women. But all my coaches kept saying, Patty, that would knock off 50% of the people in the world. That's a huge, broad statement, right? And then one person even actually said to me one time, Patty, are you really going to choose your clients by their genitalia? And it was pretty funny, right? I laughed, you know, and I realized that it wasn't really whether somebody was female or male. It was really kind of more in their communication style, right? So it took me a while for me to figure that one out. And now I literally about 5 years ago did come out and just say, I market to women and the right men show up. But all my marketing dollars and all my marketing goes to market to women. But I do have clients that are male, maybe for whatever reasons, maybe their company caters to women or whatever, but whatever the case may be. But it was scary, even after having been in business for as long as I had, to be able to come out and say my truth and just say, you know what? I really prefer to work with women and it gets me excited and stuff. I have to tell you, the day I came out with that and spoke my truth, like literally it just all my shoulder, all the weight was just like, oh my gosh, it was so amazing. And that year I had the biggest year I have ever had. And it has literally at least 3x to 10x every year since then, since I did that. Cause I really feel like you just have to make a decision, right? You just have to make a decision what you're going to be doing and don't live with fear. That's kind of where the book came about, Faith or Fear, right? You know, it's like really you can't be fearful and stuff. But what you're saying here really makes sense to me because while you were talking about those things, oh, here it's usually this or it's this or it's this, the reality is those are the non-negotiables, right? Are you doing the non-negotiables? So you segued us right into your expertise here. So let's kind of talk about those because you're saying fractured to focus, three non-negotiables to focus on daily to achieve consistent client growth. You're not saying to focus on whenever you feel like it to achieve, you know, consistent client growth, right? You're saying daily. That's yeah. Why it's non-negotiable. It's like brushing your teeth, taking a shower. Like these are daily things. And we all know that, you know, it takes a few days to create a habit, right? You know, although seeing results helps a lot, right? It's kind of like when you're trying to lose weight, you get on the scale and you lose weight. Like the more that works, like the more motivated you get, but it has to become a habit. So let's jump into that and talk about what those non-negotiables are. So what's the first non-negotiable?
Well, I'm going to back up just slightly and just recognize before you can do into the non-negotiables, you need to know two things and only two things predict revenue. How many people you're meeting and how many offers you're making. So when you talk about distilling the non-negotiables, it's what are the three activities that will lead to the things that predict revenue? And what I say is really important is that you can choose the speed at which you travel as long as you focus on the movement. And I said, I made movement non-negotiable. Movement is what builds momentum, and not all movement's forward. Let's be clear, we're not rainbows and unicorns. What we say, I didn't decide, should I show up today? I'm like, I'm showing up today. What am I focusing on? And that was what I did in that 1 hour. And it's what I do consistently. It's what I mentor with my clients and help guide them through. But the first one is the truth that your business is going to be built on strangers, and you've got to have an audience. And I think one of the biggest challenges for business owners out there is everyone tells you what to do to convert or to get leads. And all of that happens really far up the chain. But nobody actually talks about the first foundation, which is you can't be the best kept secret. That does not mean that you need to be on every social media platform. But without an audience, you have a serious, serious problem. And that is by far, I say, even at that $1 million plus range of a business growth, if you take your foot off the gas of audience building, you will run your pipeline dry. And if you are starting out, you can't just do graphics and websites and do that stuff, because that's icing and accelerators, but you missed the building block. And so audience building to me is the number one non-negotiable. And the shortest path to cash is to go where the market is already looking and turn it towards you.
I agree with you. I think audience building, and it's really pretty much something you have to do. Like, I think there's many, many things in your business you can automate. There's things in your business you can delegate, but there's only one you. Mm-hmm. And so there's only one you. And I think that it is really important, something I work with my clients on a lot, and my partners too, right? Even my collaborative partners, I find this as well, is that how much time are you actually spending in the audience building portion? Because you're right, before you can convert them, you have to build them. Just because you build doesn't mean they'll come. First, they have to know you built it, right? So I think that is really, really important. So I think that was really a nugget there. So I hope everybody wrote that down, because that was a writer downer for sure, that she said. Also, those two actions that predict future revenue. I mean, that is really powerful. And that was a really great nugget too. So, and we're not even halfway through and you're already dropping all these great nuggets, Christine. So I love it. So I think that is really important. So I love that you said that. So what are the three non-negotiable foundations then to create a thriving business?
Well, the first, you know, when you say, I've got to recognize I've got to build the audience. And here's why. 3% of people got out of bed today ready to buy. That means 97% did not. So you've got to build an audience. And I particularly, because I work with creatives or service-based businesses primarily, I say you don't have to get super complicated. The three things I love to do: speaking, networking, and events. And why I choose those for audience building is because they're experiential in nature. Your goal is to spark curiosity that leads to movement. I go back to movement all the time. I said, if I can turn your awareness to me, and I can start to connect to you and build credibility, I'm thinking, is she capable? Do I like her? Does she have what it takes? Who is in her network? Do I want to feel like I want to engage with her? Here's the clue. 99% of my clients do not engage in my social media before they become clients. They do after they become clients. They become amplifiers. But at the first time, they're sitting in the back of the room. Good audience building strategy, those experiential ones, move somebody from the back of the room to the front of the room and play to the science. Biologically, we're wired that if we can buy into mini micro agreements, nodding our heads, saying, yes, tell me more, I want to be in that space, but build it intentionally. By the time you get to the sixth one, you're almost always going to be affirmative. It's not a guarantee, but it's pretty high probability. So what are you doing to build that traditional know, like, and trust factor? Because the goal is to make sure people know definitively, I'm in the right room or I'm not. And so often you talked about, you know, I want to serve everybody and I want to blend into the sea. And the problem is you're liked, but not seen as essential to their success result. And being the must hire, that's the piece of the business you need to be quantifying and building and getting clear on. And to do that well, you then need to tackle the second key foundation, which is You need to look at your messaging. Who are you calling to the room? You can't come from the place of enlightenment. You can't come from the place of sounding like all your peers. That is where we feel safe. And honestly, a lot of business owners get stuck here saying, I was in all these right networking rooms. I said, but that's not where your buyers are. That's not where your potential audience is, because they're not knowing the same language as you. And often what you're selling is so far away from their current reality. It's not that they don't want it, but they're not searching for it today. And I remind clients all the time, the fact that Google, Pinterest, and YouTube are the most trafficked engines on the planet means people are looking for specialists with specialist knowledge, and they don't have the same language you do. But if you can't connect to them through the messaging in the dark where they are, you will be the best kept secret for much longer.
Yep, I agree with you 100%. I always like to say, if you are doing do-it-yourself efforts, you're going to get do-it-yourself results. If you want expert results, hire an expert, right? And whether that expert you're hiring is to do it, whether that expert is to do it with you, do it for you, but at the very least, or to help you be really, really clear about what your expertise is, right? Because that's where we get stuck again. And so you're right. And, you know, going back to that whole who is everybody, not knowing who you serve. One of the things, so as a speaker myself, I love that you actually chose those, because those are like my three favorite things as well. But one of the things that I think is an example of that is when people are doing events, and it doesn't even have to be a big event, could be a workshop, could be whatever the case may be, because we want comfort. I've seen it so many times. I know you're going to say, yes, I have too, is when they want to invite all their friends. Like they want to invite their friends or their people that, you know, they're going to feel comfortable. And I always say, you do realize that every single one of those seats has a dollar sign on it, right? And when you fill that room with people that love you, that's really, really great, that are supporting you, it actually really isn't, right? You know, I have so many times when I'll say that I'm going to do an event, and out of the woodwork will come all these people, oh, Patty, I would love to support you. It's like, great, buy a ticket, right? You know, you're not supporting me by taking up a free seat, you know what I mean? And people just don't get that.
I have a great story. I will tell you my first major colossal mistake, because it's valuable and I will just own it in front of the audience. My first event, I had exactly that. I put it out to my network. Everyone was cheering for me as I was blazing my new path. I had 100+ people commit to being there. And I was feeling pretty confident walking into the room that I would deliver a great experience. I did, but three people showed up.
Ouch.
One person was my ideal client. One was somebody who did similar work to me, who was theirs to have a competitor insight to how I do what I do. And the third person was someone I know who left halfway through the event. Ooh. It was destroying. I was so upset, and I realized something really important. Two big lessons. One, I curated the wrong audience because I was chasing the wrong metric. It is better to have the right people in the room than to have a full room. Just remember, who are you calling? I wasn't calling the right people. Second thing was, the person who was the right person in the room, I transformed their lives. And they told me that afterwards and said, I am in movement now because I was in that room. Thank you for being the spark and helping me have the hard conversations to realize that I was in my own way. And so I learned, don't chase the wrong audience. And second thing, show up for one. One person, one conversation, one step, one movement, one conversation, one offer. One is everything. That 1% is the difference between success on your journey or not. It's also the difference between ending up in the ocean or on the moon.
I really agree with that as well, because I know that when I did become a speaker, and most of my audience has heard my speaking story, but when I did become a speaker, one of the things that I struggled with in the beginning was because I was very successful financially in the beginning. I was a six-figure speaker in the first 2 weeks I decided to become a speaker, because I had the right audience. But the problem was, is I didn't realize at that time that it wasn't about me. So I went through a lot of angst, literally threw up every single time for 18 months before I would speak. I did it anyway, but I really struggled with that. And the reason was because it was really hard for me in the beginning to understand that it wasn't about me at all. It was about them. So if you put the right thems in the room, like you're all good, right? You know, so curating that correct audience. And also one of the things that I think people need to know, whether this is in business, whether it's at a networking event, whether it's at a workshop, or whether you're putting together an event, or you're the speaker from the front of the room, whatever the case may be, how many people are there does not equate to how many dollars you will make. I have made so much money, and there were 10 people in the room, and they made money when there were 300 people in the room, right? You know, it's all about them being the right people, which I think is what you're really trying to say, and curating that right audience. Before we move on to the next thing, I do have a question about that for you. Now, when we do our own events, we do our own podcasts, we do our own workshops, we are curating that. As a speaker, I have a lot of speakers who watch this podcast, literally like 75% of our audience. So that's why I'm going to actually throw this in here, even though I didn't prep you. But I know you can handle it. So as a speaker, when you don't control who is in the room, right? Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I control that the best I can because I only say yes to the ones that I know what the demographic is. And I do put that in my favor, right? But you don't still know everything because it's not in your control, right? So what are some of the ways that you have handled that to make that work in your favor as a speaker when you actually don't know who's in the room? I have my answer, but I just kind of want to know what yours is.
I think it comes back to messaging for sure. And you've said it before, it's what's in it for them. The thing that you need to remember is when you are speaking, one is the speed. And I don't mean the speed at which you're speaking. I mean, the speed at which they're going to swallow the content you're talking about. It has to be dialed back because you're taking them on a journey and you have to be thinking really intentionally before you go in, what's in it for them? What would I want to do to spark their curiosity, to create movement, and how can I draw the connection points so that they have a clear takeaway out of it? And I want to, if I don't know the blend of the audience, I want to be using, you know, some feeders and some content to say, in a broad setting, this is how you could apply it. And I may be using examples, but at that point, I must be really clear on the stories I'm selecting. What's in it for them? What do I want them to tell them why it matters? What do you do with that knowledge now that you acquire it? And please be focused, same thing, on the what movement do I want you to take out of this? If you cannot put yourself in the audience's shoes, you will always just be entertaining. And I tell people all the time when I'm hosting events or when I'm speaking on other people's stages, I said, I just hope I'm entertaining, but that's not the goal. If all I did was entertain you, then we have fallen short of what's possible.
Absolutely.
One of the big things we miss is the so what. It's one of the things we mentioned a little earlier, but I do really have to put myself in their shoes because I say, in order to move an audience, and in order to, you know, first off, you're so right, just show up as a human being because I'm compelled to show up in the darkness as a human being. I don't need to be perfect. I need to sit safely and say, I see you. I also have to have the courage to be really truly seen in the darkness. And then I have to understand, what does it cost you? It's not, you know, are they female or male? It's what is it costing you to stay in that darkness? And when is your motivation and your trigger point to move? And then I want to make sure I'm really intentional, understanding why does it matter to you to stir the emotions and say, I will leave you footprints to guide you in a path of movement. And if they start to follow, then they start to say, I feel safe within your space. Still scared. How can you help me? And at that point, you need to remember, you're not the solution. You're the guide.
Oh, I love that so much. You're not the solution. You're the guide. Oh, that just makes so much sense. I hope everybody heard that. You're not the solution. You're the guide. So that is a huge, huge nugget right there. Okay. So thank you so much for letting me take you off course a little bit and stuff, because I just really thought that was a good nugget. So where should we focus our time daily to achieve that consistent client growth? I mean, you're like daily, this is it. You know, we have the non-negotiable foundations, but what are the actual things to focus on daily?
Yeah, there are three of them. First off is going, meeting new people. And when I mean people, I mean two things you're doing here. One, you're getting into new rooms, you're meeting new people, and you are actually not about, again, the quality here is everything, but new people. The second thing in the people conversation is who can I reach out to support? And notice I'm not saying sell to here. I always say to people, don't look for clients. I look for problems to solve, ways I can contribute, and people I can support. So every day I had my first of that hour, a good 60% of the time, I was like, how can I engage with people? Voice notes, memos, phone calls, conversation. How do I support and be the conduit to create the web where my reputation grows as a person? Because then people start to say, tell me what it is, what you do. But contact with people is number one, daily, every single day. Second thing to that is, what do they need to move? I need to really think about my intentional, whether that is content strategy, whether that is invitations, whether it's what event can I do, speaking, networking, or my own or shared events, bring people together. And if I go into a space in that time, I need to have an outcome target. The third component, which I do daily, is you need to focus on the money, which is where the offer comes in. So remember, people and offers, what predicts your revenue? Who have I made offers to? How can I continue to nurture that relationship? Who do I think is a high probability out of who I met yesterday, last week, the month before, who I should nurture because I believe that I could serve them? How can I continue to build their movement? And I need to be clear, really compellingly, what's in it for them for that offer? And be leading in a, you know, being aware to be clear, I must lead that offer and be prepared that it can come unexpectedly. But if I don't build people, really be intentional with everything in the messaging is about creating a movement and then being clear, I must focus on the money component, which is the offer, and really being clear that the offer is never about me justifying myself. It's not about the how. If they've already come from the back of the room to the front of the room, they know I can get the how because I'm the guide they're choosing. I'm the must hire. That's how they view me. Where offers break down is not that they don't believe in you, the business owner who's made it, because you got to that place in the conversation. Their wobble is I don't trust myself. So you need to be sure that you can talk to them about what's the vision and why is their vision non-negotiable and create the safety to say, I've got you. And if you are not sure you've got them and you're not the right guide, please do not make an offer. Don't stand in disintegrity. But if
that's
you know,
right. Refer them to somebody else. Do an introduction. Right. Because for me, introductions and being able to do a powerful introduction, that is like really where it's at, right? You know, because that's the first next touch for somebody that you can do for somebody when you are meeting the right person, right? So I have to say, this has been absolutely wonderful, Christine. First of all, what is your website? Because I know people are going to want to connect with you. So what is your website? Go ahead and tell them what that is. And we will have a button below too, but in case you're listening while you're driving or something, right? You know, what is your website?
You can find me at my name, which is ChristineCampbellRappin.com. And the last name's R-A-P-I-N.
Perfect. And she comes bearing gifts. And lo and behold, her gift is how to scale and attract high paying clients consistently without complicated tech. Now, how fabulous is that? Christine, tell us a little bit about your gift.
You know, this is the conversation people say, I don't know what to focus on. And we started the conversation there. I said, this is the roadmap. I have a business scale accelerator framework. That's what I mentor my clients through. But this is the first foundation pillar of it, which is you've got to get the foundations right. You wouldn't be surprised. Audience building, messaging, and getting offers out there. But we take you through the roadmap. You'll be able to leave this 1 hour live workshop with a clear path of this is how you create results. If you need some help on it, you'll also have the invitation to spend some time with me. But it is so valuable. If you're not sure what to do, notice in everything we've said today, it isn't go create a cute graphic. It isn't go tweak something like that. It is simple. Your fastest path to cash is conversation. Get into it.
Absolutely. And this is the portion of the show. I like to call it, this is my version of karaoke. It's like business karaoke, right? The name of the show is Marketing, Media, Money. So even though this whole conversation has been amazing and you have been very generous in sharing your brilliance, We always like to ask our guests, what is your number one, if you had to narrow it down, what is your number one marketing, media, and money strategy?
It is the simple truth that nobody told you, and maybe you need to listen and wake up, but your business will be built on strangers. If you have a great reputation before you started your business, at some point that pipeline will dry up. And a lot of people who loved you might not follow you and might not be your buyers. You have to get clear on building your audience because your business will be built on strangers. And here's the interesting fact that I observe. Most the people that will cheer you, support you, and want to do business with you start as strangers, but they become friends. You have a very intimate relationship. And in my moment right now in my business, I want to invite you. People do business with people. Go make some friends. Show up as a good human being and you will see your business accelerate.
Oh, I love that. I used to go to networking events with this t-shirt that said, I talk to strangers. It was a really nice, so maybe I shouldn't call it a t-shirt. It was a blouse, I guess, but it did say that and it would stop people in their tracks or like, you talk to strangers. And it was really a great conversation starter. So I really loved it. So really, honestly, talking to strangers, because I always like to say, you may be a stranger, you're just not my friend yet. Right. You know, so I think that is important. So thank you so much for being here, Christine. I really love the kind of the value bombs that you shared and so generously as well, and a gift. So I really appreciate you being here with me today.
It has been my pleasure. Thanks, Patty.
So we asked you a lot of questions. We talked a lot about where you should focus. And I'm going to ask you, if you would like a simple answer to the question, where should I focus my time and energy to attract the highly qualified ideal clients? Just by kind of diving a little bit into your own business, right? Then I invite you to take the Marketing, Media, Money assessment. And in 3 minutes or less, you're going to know where you are excelling, where you need to make maybe a few changes, and what steps to take to achieve massive results. And to get that assessment, go to M3, that stands for Marketing, Media, Money, right? M3BizQuiz.com. So M3BizQuiz.com. Everyone, it has been such a pleasure. I want to thank you so much for showing up every single week to be here with us. Thank you for joining us on the podcast. And if you enjoyed today's episode, and I am sure you did, please subscribe and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. So until next week, everyone, have a phenomenal, productive, and profitable day.
Thank you for joining us today on the Marketing, Media, and Money podcast. To shorten your learning curve even more, make sure to grab your free copy of the Marketing, Media, and Money magazine at www.marketingmediamoney.com. I promise your business will thank you.